Shell Anderson is a North Shore naturalist. She lives here in Cook County and joins us periodically to talk about phenology, or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Shell.
Hello.
Well, evening grosbeaks used to be pretty common at our bird feeders, but not lately. So what do we know about these gregarious birds?
Well, boy, it seems like it ranges from a lot of facts, you know, things that we can say. We can tell what they look like, obviously, because we get to enjoy them, those big, kind of deep, rich yellow birds with flashy black and white markings, and they're big, so they're easy to see, and they like to come to our bird feeders and eat our seeds, and they have those incredible bills. I mean, so they're part of the finch family, which are all seed eaters, but those evening grosbeaks have just those amazingly big, fat bills for seed cracking, and they say, I've never seen this, but I would love to see it. They say that they can break open a cherry pit.
Whoa. Well,
yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even want to try that with my teeth. So I don't know. I like I said, I would love to see that. So they're very obvious when they're around. They, as you are saying, they're gregarious. They travel around pretty much all the time in groups, and they like to kind of chit-chat back and forth, and they have a real recognizable song and interaction calls and so on. So they're, it's not like they can fly under the radar. Yeah, there are a lot of questions, though. Those are kind of the facts. But there are a lot of questions about just why in the last 30 years or so, 40 years, their numbers seem to have changed dramatically, their population numbers, and in a negative way, as in declining. But the facts about that are pretty limited. So part of that is because nobody was really paying much attention to bird populations, individual bird species populations, in a big way, you know, in terms of many different species, until about 1960. So we don't really have anything quantitative about, well, how common have evening grosbeaks been in different parts of their range. And we do know that before 1854, there were no evening grosbeaks east of the Great Lakes. They moved their range into the east, some think because of the changes in the landscape there with the planting of a lot of large seed-bearing trees. So especially things in the, like maples, which have a lot, produce a lot of seed, large seeds, just right down their alley for as a forage. So, but that isn't, you know, anything that anybody can say with absolute certainty, but that's kind of the major change in the landscape that people think could be a part of that. So they have spread, we know, since early historic times, but the numbers thing is still remains kind of a mystery. We don't know if their numbers have been truly in some kind of decline that's unprecedented, or if their numbers have been changing on some sort of cycle that we haven't identified because we don't have long-term data on it.
I can remember just a few years ago, I mean, the place was just full of them. Mm-hmm. The last 2 years, 3 years, not so much. Would that be accountable to a cycle within this general decline?
We don't know if there is some cycle, some big cycle that we haven't identified. And then certainly with any species, there can be ups and downs. In my experience here, going back 30 years or more, yeah, there were grosbeaks at my bird feeder every winter. Unfailing, and not just a few, but many evening grosbeaks would show up. And since I've lived in the East End the last 15, 16 years, we only very seldom have had grosbeaks show up, just briefly, usually. A group might show up, or just one or two. This year, for the first time in a long time, we actually have had a group of a dozen that or so that have been coming. I don't expect that they will stay. And grosbeaks, they are nomadic in the sense that they move around a lot and they nest in the coniferous forest. They might use other species for nesting, but they're more of a northern bird. But their populations are known to move with food source. So within their range, migratory range, we might see an influx of birds from further north that could build up the populations that we might see or the individuals we'd see at our bird feeder in the winter if food resources are scarcer to the north. So that mixes up the whole trying to track what's going on too. That's why the breeding bird survey information is so important, because over time it can help resolve both these population cycling issues. It can also help us understand, is there truly a decline that could be, say, habitat related, or some, you know, related to habitat loss related or something else. But otherwise, boy, it's just very difficult based on our, just you and my personal observations or others.
Well, it also doesn't seem to, whatever's going on doesn't seem to affect the other finches.
I think it's, this particular species is a great example of a bird that so many of us are aware of, and it's easy to see and spot, but there's, you know, lots we don't know about it that we can, you know, if we keep trying to follow the course of their lives.
Well, that would be a good phenology project for the Christmas bird count this year. And for those of people who don't go out and walk the roads, it would be good for the stay-at-homes and load up the bird feeder and see who shows up. They love sunflower seeds.
They do. They are great seed-eating machines. Just amazing. Now, this time of year, those bills are going to be white, but as anyone who's been watching them for any amount of time knows, that those bills will turn green in the summer. Nobody really knows what's the adaptive advantage of bills turning green, but I've heard Laura Erickson express her theory about that, which is that they turn green, the adults' bills turn green, so that the young know who will feed them.
And the young really want to be fed. That's one of the great joys of having a bird feeder, is when these full size but pretty rough-looking young grosbeaks are standing there beating their wings against their bodies and saying, feed me, and mom and dad are really trying hard to ignore them, but then every so often they'll just reach over and they'll give them something.
Take that.
I think it's probably the most evident with that particular bird species of any that I've ever seen.
Yeah, Laura's theory is as good as any. It makes sense to me. If I was a little bird, that would be a handy clue.
Okay. Jill Anderson, botanist and plant ecologist, thanks for helping us understand evening grosbeaks.
Oh, my pleasure.